Hello and welcome to the weekly edition of ESG Now, the show that explores how the environment, our society, and corporate governance affects and are affected by our economy. I'm Bentley Kaplan, your host for this episode. I've had a few weeks away from the mic, so it's good to be back in the swing of things. And on this episode, ahead of 2024's proxy season, we're going to be talking about climate governance at big corporates. Because more and more, as climate change intensifies, shareholders and nomination committees might be tempted to bring on a new director. Somebody with climate credentials. And if you're a climate investor, having a voice in the boardroom to nudge the ship through growing climate risks and opportunities seems like a no-brainer. Or at the very least, you'd expect these new climate credentials would help a company to set climate targets or bring its emissions down, right? Well, don't be too hasty. Recent research from two of my colleagues might just surprise you. So thanks for sticking around. Let's do this. We've spoken about climate investing, climate data, and climate regulations on the show before. We've even spoken about climate governance at companies, a term that's gaining increasing traction. And that goes from things like say on climate proposals, to proxy showdowns at oil and gas giants, to decisions to carve out carbon-intensive subsidiaries. But today, we're looking much more closely at a company's board and how investors might think about that board's readiness to tackle the risks and opportunities that climate change brings. Whether that's from changing policy and regulations, or physical climate risks, or opportunities from low-carbon products or services. It's a discussion that could very quickly get out of hand. So, we're going to be very specific in narrowing things down. And to do that, I'm going to talk to Florian Sommer out of MSCI's London office. Now, Florian, you worked with David Muirhead on this piece of research where you guys looked at how the presence of a climate expert on a corporate board correlated with those companies setting climate targets and then progressing towards them. Before we get into the slightly surprising results that you guys found and their implications, maybe let's hit the most obvious question, right? What's the motivation to do this research in the first place?
This research is about how companies set up their decision-making to manage climate-related risks and opportunities, so effectively climate governance. More and more investors are looking at this topic, both in terms of their portfolios, but also in terms of working with companies to improve their practices. So it's a big current topic, and it's become more and more important, I think, for many investors in recent years.
Okay, so you've got investors that are eyeing out, you know, this question of climate governance or how prepared a company's board is to address the many vexing questions of climate change. But, you know, that's obviously a sprawling topic and you've got to start somewhere sensible, right?
What we wanted to do in this paper is zone in on one of the key areas of climate governance, director expertise. So the question of whether the board has the right know-how, sufficient expertise to deal with this quite complex question of climate change and how it impacts company practices. I view this as a key component of assessing climate governance. And the interesting thing is that there's actually so far no generally accepted definition of what counts as climate-related expertise. So you could say there is a gap. And so that's part of what we wanted to fill. But it's not just that. We also wanted to see how this question of expertise plays into changes in actual company practices. So basically, whether having climate experts on the board will help companies adopt and then implement climate targets.
Okay, so we've covered why you wanted to look at this research in the first place, but I'm sure you've got a long list of papers and analysis, you know, that you'd like to run in your sort of research wish list. So why did this one get out the door now, you know, specifically in sort of late March, early April?
Well, that's because it's proxy season. You have shareholders around the world that will be casting their votes in board elections, in director elections over the coming weeks and months. So in effect, deciding who should sit on these boards of listed companies and effectively what the overall skills mix for directors should be. And so that means, I think, now is the time for many investors and companies to think about exactly these kinds of issues of board composition, what skills should be present on the board, and how this might potentially affect company practices generally, but also including in the area of climate change.
Right. Got it. So, you know, as we head into this year's proxy season, you know, investors that are focused on climate might be very interested in who is sitting on a company's board and whether there are robust climate credentials among its directors. And maybe there's like an implicit assumption that having a climate expert on a company's board is a decent safeguard, an assurance that someone's leaning over the boardroom table and making sure that climate risks and opportunities are being embedded into company strategy. But of course, boardroom dynamics are not necessarily straightforward. So a good analyst is going to want to kick the tires that these assumptions are riding on. And in this case, to see what a climate-savvy director might mean for a company's climate strategy. So Florian, you and David looked at the Climate Action 100 Plus's list of focus companies. As a mid-episode footnote, the Climate Action 100 Plus is an initiative formed by a bunch of global investors. The mission of the initiative is to, quote, ensure the world's largest corporate greenhouse gas emitters take necessary action on climate change. The Climate Action 100 Plus has put together a focus list of companies, the world's biggest corporate emitters that it has targeted for engagement. The list started at 100 companies in 2017, but maybe quite tellingly has grown to 170 by the end of 2023. Here ends your mid-episode footnote. So Florian, you and David looked at this list of companies because not only are they relatively intensive emitters, but they're also likely to be seeing decent levels of investor engagement. And then you took some of our in-house, you know, corporate governance data and climate data and, you know, started assessing how the presence of a climate expert correlated with company attributes. You hit a snag pretty early on in the process, right? There isn't actually a widely endorsed definition of what a climate expert looks like when it comes to corporate governance. And like any good trailblazers, you made your own way, right? Setting up a framework as a starting point. So for our benefit, could you share a little bit on, you know, what sorts of things you were thinking about when defining, you know, this climate expert?
So we thought about some criteria, things like being an executive who actually has to apply technical climate expertise in their role, or climate-related academics, for example, among other roles. Based on that, we said, well, who among these directors in the peer group is actually an expert?
Okay, so once you know who is a climate expert and who isn't, you can then take this list of focus companies from the Climate Action 100 Plus and split them into two buckets. Okay, and so on one side, you've got companies that have a climate expert on their board, and on the other, companies that don't. All right, and then you look at these two buckets of companies and you compare them in terms of their climate targets and sort of progress towards those targets, which is where things went kind of upside down for a little bit. Take us through that.
The results, I think, are very interesting. And I think they're very interesting because they're counterintuitive. At a high level, you might expect that having experts on the board helps. Having an expert on the board might help the board as a whole understand these complex climate issues. And then, again, help the board as a whole drive the company to adopt climate targets and then actually implement them. But what we actually found is quite the opposite. Companies without experts did better than companies with experts, based on our analysis. The group of firms without experts had a higher rate of companies with credible climate targets, and this group without experts also had a higher share of firms that were actually on track with implementing all of their climate targets.
So that's a little odd, right? Do we then look at this result and say that not only do climate experts on the board not matter, but they actually seem to make things worse?
I don't think so, and I don't think our data actually shows that. What it does suggest to me is that if you care about how the company is performing on the climate targets, you may want to look more widely at its broader governance and climate governance practices and not just focus on whether there's one specific expert on the board.
Right, so this is where things got really interesting for me. Because when I first read your analysis, admittedly over a pile of Easter eggs, I was sort of nodding along. Like, sure, let's give a company a director with climate expertise, and we're going to see a bump in more proactive climate strategy, whether that's setting targets or resting more heavily on renewable power or looking to make supply chains more climate resilient. But as you say, you know, what you found was kind of the opposite. And it's almost because you had this counterintuitive result that it opened up things much more for discussion. Because had you seen something more intuitive, like, you know, climate experts on the board make for more climate savvy companies, then it's quite tempting just to kind of publish and call it a day. So can you take us through the thought process of having this surprising outcome and how that fits into your broader view of governance?
Yes, absolutely. So governance is a system of checks and balances that helps with good decision-making, good corporate decision-making. And I think if you look at our results, that point is just underlined. You have specific elements of this governance system, which are very important, you know, specific board skills, who is the chair, what are the committees, who owns the company. But for me, the key element is actually how these different governance elements, how these different practices work together. So in the context of our research, what the results mean for me is it's not just about looking at one specific aspect of climate governance, but it's rather about identifying the broader group of practices that together then help you analyze this question of how climate relevant decisions are made at the company and whether these decisions are made in an effective way.
Okay, so I do love that thinking, but if we can take things out of the philosophical and more into the day-to-day for investors, you know, what sorts of questions might they be asking? What areas could they be thinking about as they actually move to engage with companies or analyze their portfolios through a climate governance lens?
It's about, yes, climate expertise on the board. It's about who has this expertise. Is the expert an executive or non-executive? There's some data in our research that actually suggests that if you have an executive who is the expert, that correlates with better climate performance compared to companies that have non-executive experts. It's also about what other skills are present on the board. Is there financial expertise? Is there industry expertise on the board? That's important. It's also about which committees you have. Do you have a sustainability committee? Do you have an environmental committee that really helps the board focus on these complex topics? And I think it's also about incentives, executive pay policies. So if you take all this together, I think you start to get a better picture of climate governance. And then you can say, well, based on that, how do these decision-making structures impact actual climate practices? And in that sense, if you think about it that way, our findings actually, I think, make a lot of sense. And that's because, to me, corporate governance is a system. It's a system of checks and balances. So you have to look at the wider system, how the different individual practices work together to see whether that system is effective.
Right. So expecting a solo climate expert on your board to be the cure-all that suddenly sees a company releasing a cutting-edge climate strategy or shedding emissions might be a bit of a stretch. As Florian talked us through it, comprehensive climate governance is much broader than that. And although it also includes director expertise, it extends to things like say on climate proposals, executive pay structures, committee duties, and much more than that. And it's all these different things interacting together that gives you the collective. Corporate governance is very much about how all these different components interact, and climate governance is no different. And there are some caveats, to be sure. Right? Companies are rapidly evolving their climate targets and their efforts, and potential limitations in what those companies are reporting publicly can make it difficult to assess exactly what's going on in a boardroom. It's also telling that there is no accepted definition of what climate expertise actually is or who should be defining it. But even with these caveats, these results will be food for thought. As investors, and shareholders specifically, head into the 2024 proxy season. And that is it for the week. A massive thanks to Florian for his take on the news with an ESG twist. Thank you very much for tuning in. I have no doubt that you've enjoyed listening to episodes from our new hosts, Margarita and Gabriella, who are killing it, by the way, so look out for them in some upcoming episodes. And with all of this new talent elbowing me out the studio, it does make weeks like this one just a little bit more precious for me. And speaking of precious, keep an extra ear out over the next couple of weeks because we're planning yet another host debut on ESG Now. If you are enjoying our content and you want to help share it with colleagues and friends, please do, or just rate and review the show on your platform of choice. All of that helps us to reach a wider audience and to make the world of ESG and sustainable investing just a little bit clearer and accessible. Thanks again, and until next time, take care of yourself and those around you. The MSCI ESG Research podcast is provided by MSCI ESG Research, LLC, a registered investment advisor under the Investment Advisors Act of 1940 and a subsidiary of MSCI Inc. Except with respect to any applicable products or services from MSCI ESG Research, neither MSCI nor any of its products or services recommends, endorses, approves, or otherwise expresses any opinion regarding any issuer, securities, financial products or instruments, or trading strategies. And MSCI's products or services are not intended to constitute investment advice or a recommendation to make or refrain from making any kind of investment decision and may not be relied on as such. The analysis discussed should not be taken as an indication or guarantee of any future performance, analysis, forecast, or prediction. The information contained in this recording is not for reproduction in whole or in part without prior written permission from MSCI ESG Research. Issuers mentioned or included in any MSCI ESG Research materials may include MSCI Inc., clients of MSCI, or suppliers to MSCI, and may also purchase research or other products or services from MSCI ESG Research. MSCI ESG Research materials, including materials utilized in any MSCI ESG indexes or other products, have not been submitted to nor received approval from the United States Securities and Exchange Commission or any other regulatory body. The information provided here is as is, and the user of the information assumes the entire risk of any use it may make or permit to be made of the information. Thank you.